I'm going to turn to a verse you're very familiar with. Most of you have a hard time believing it when it affects you, but and I've been with there many, many times, but there's just a phrase there that just keeps catching my attention. Look at Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Looks like the theme of the Vacation Bible School was simple faith in God. That's what it looks like to me from what I heard and what I saw. And basically, that's what I'm going to preach on this morning, although I wasn't here for any of the Vacation Bible School. I was in Colorado vacationing. Well, all you were working hard. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for these young people that had a chance to study the Bible and have a good time. And we thank You for all those that volunteered and worked and labored that they might have that good time and learn something from the Word. We thank You for these mothers and daddies that brought them. And God, we just ask You to bless this meeting today. You know all of our hearts. You know our needs. I pray that You would suit a blessing individual to each need, each heart. And I pray You'd give me a freedom and ease to preach that only You can give. We'll give You the thanks for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's an interesting verse. It's a very difficult verse. It's a verse that just almost staggers your faith whenever it happens to you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And the little words that I'm thinking about are, and we know. Now, I know that all things work together for good. Do you know that? Now, if you don't know that, we don't know it. But if I know it and you know it, then we know it, don't we? It'd be a pretty good thing if we knew it. It might help us a whole lot if not only I knew it, but you knew it. And if I know it and you know it, then we know it, don't we, John? We know. Now, how in the world can you know? All things work together for good to them that love God. And we know, Paul says, all things. Well, that includes a lot of things. You know how big that is? That's a great big verse. You know what it takes to know that? Faith. There's no other way you can know it. There's no other way you can know it. I cannot even look back in my 60 years of life and look at the bad things that happen. And some of those bad things, they bring my hair up on the back of my neck right now. There's some things that have happened to me that boy, they gall me. There are things that have happened to me that were wrong. There are things that happened to me that were bad. There are things that happened to me that broke my heart. And in the natural mind are me looking at it with reason, me looking at it with proofs. There's no way I could tell you that all those bad things turned out good or they did good for me. But the Bible says, Paul says, I can trust God. He said, you can trust God with your life. God's bigger than the circumstances about your life. And nothing can come into your life without God allowing it. Now, you know, once you realize God does have control and that some of these things that come our way, though I don't want them. You know, I never did want a spanking. I don't ever remember asking my dad, please spank me. But there's no doubt some of those spankings did me some good. There's some times I've been serving God and God has not answered my prayers. In fact, it's given me exactly the opposite of what I was praying for. Now, you know what I'm sure of? By faith, I'm sure of this. I couldn't prove it to you. I'm sure that when He didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted it answered, and when He gave me exactly the opposite of what I was praying for, He did it for my good. Because that's the kind of loving God I have. How do I know there's a loving God? By faith. You realize how much of your life is based on faith? I like what these kids were singing about the Creator. You know, I don't guess, even when I was in school and lost, when they were teaching about evolution and whatever, and I heard some of these things, it sounded ridiculous to me at the time. Now, to me, it takes a great deal more faith to believe that all of these things just happened by accident, by chance, over millions and billions of years, than to believe there is a super mind, a super power we know is God who created it and made it the way it is. It just is hard for me to imagine. It takes a great deal of faith for me to imagine all the different kind of eyes there are in the animal kingdom. And they happen by accident. Well, I've got good eyes. Thank the Lord. Well, I used to have good eyes. Now I've got trifocals. Still see pretty well with the trifocals. Praise the Lord. Hey, by the way, I got two plastic eyes now. Yeah. I've got two plastic eyes. I used to have eyes like an eagle, but now then I got two plastic eyes with trifocals. But I'm still seeing. But you know, the eagle has an eye that can look down from thousands of feet and just focus in on a little bird and know when to hit it. The fly has got eyes with so many different facets that you have a hard time catching a fly. You ever try to catch flies? You ever try to catch? I did. Oh, I always want to be quick enough to catch flies. You know what I learned? You have to swing high. If you swing right where that fly is, you're never going to get him because he's going to be too quick. He's going to see you coming and move. You got to swing in the path of his moving, then you can catch him. And think of all the different kinds of animals out there. Think of the birds that have eyes out of both sides of the head. They don't see forward like we see, but boy, they're just so shaky. You think all those different kinds of eyes just came by accident? That takes a lot of faith. You got to have an awful lot of faith in a college professor. You got to have an awful lot of faith in somebody that wrote a book. You got to have an awful lot of faith in a lot of things. The first four words of the Bible are so comforting. In the beginning, God. If God is God, and the word God, what it stands for, and all that means he's a super powerful being, he's a great mind, and he's got all the power to do what he wants to do, and he spoke the world into existence. And somebody says, which came first, the chicken or the egg? It's chickens, friend. God didn't make eggs, he made chickens, and chickens reproduced by eggs, but God made the thing. What a wonderful thing. In the beginning, God. You know, the greatest blessings of your life are not going to come by your education or your own strength or your own wisdom. They're going to come by faith. Greatest blessings of your life will be by faith. And we know. How in the world can you know that all things work together for good to them that love God? By faith. But what a blessing it brings. I think of so many things that we learn by faith. And by the way, let me explain faith for just a minute. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. God demands faith for you to walk with him. He takes faith. He could have proved himself any number of ways. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, I just look at nature and he proves himself. Now I got an $18 Timex quartz on my belt here. It's about my third one because I keep crushing them. One of them got in the fire. My grandbabies found it a while. I was burning a bunch of trash and whatever, and I guess it got, you know, snapped off or whatever. So it's about my third one. But you know, when I look at that $18 Timex and I see it keeps good time, by the way. It's not a Rolex. I don't think anybody's going to steal it from me. I don't think anybody's going to be worried too much about it, you know. They're not going to be jealous because I've got this watch that I hang on my belt down here. I don't see many people copying me wearing their watches on their belts. But you know, every time I look at that watch, I'm thankful for somebody who knows how to make a watch. Now, I don't know how to make a watch. I don't know how to repair a watch. I can hardly put a battery in a watch. But somebody knew how to make a watch. You know what that watch is? I've told some of you many times, it's a testimony to a watchmaker. And when I look out at you and I see these little kids and I see these grown men and I see these people that can do all these different things, it's a testimony to a God, a man maker. And when I look at the world, it's a testimony, as far as I'm concerned, absolute proof. There had to be a super mind and a super power to put it all into existence. God does not necessarily love beauty as we love beauty. I heard a preacher say one time, oh, how God loves beauty. Look how many beautiful things he made. No, God loves variety. Look how many ugly things he made. God loves variety. How many thousands of insects are there? Millions of insects are there. Insects they haven't even cataloged yet. They got so many of them out there that people have been naming them for 6,000 years at least, and some of them haven't even got a name yet. It's an amazing thing. How many different birds? How many different kinds of squirrels? How many, oh man, just take the fish in the sea and all the animals in the world and look out there and look at the stars and start counting them. We haven't got them all counted yet. They keep counting, they keep discovering new ones. We haven't found them all yet. Let's build a bigger telescope. Let's get a great big huge telescope. You know what you'll find? More stars. You don't make any star any closer with a telescope. You can the planets, but you can't the stars. But all you do is see more stars where you thought there was just empty space way out there. Oh, we got a great big God. And it's a wonderful thing to know God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So as a Christian comes through his life and he comes to an experience in his life and he says, oh God, why did this happen to me? By faith he can say, and I know, it's a bad thing. I don't like the thing. It doesn't bring me pleasure now. It brings me hurt and pain now. But I trust my God and I know that all things, and if it's all things, it includes this thing. I know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You walk by simple faith. Faith is the answer to almost every problem in your life, my friend. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get up and go to work. I'm not saying that you shouldn't learn how to feed yourself and that you ought to exercise and take care of your body right and that you ought to think right and you ought to do a lot of good things in life. There's all sorts of good things that you can be taught to do, and they'll be a blessing to you. But the great answers to the great problems of life is simple faith. Go back to God, ask for the old paths. Take a look with me, if you will, in Jeremiah 6:16. Some of you think I'm old-fashioned just because I got old. I was old-fashioned when I was 25. You know why I was old-fashioned when I was 25? Because I believed the Bible by the time I was 25. And I'd read the Bible, and I decided the Bible had a better answer than the world had. Personally, in my own life, my greatest blessings have come by faith in God's Word. Now let me delineate a little bit about faith here. There are some people that teach faith today. Faith is everything, and they're thinking about positive thinking. If you just think positively, everything will go well for you. Well, everything will go better for you. The pessimist and the optimist that are both Christians, both of them end up in heaven. Just the optimist had more fun on the trip. The pessimist, he doesn't have as much fun on the trip that he goes down the road, you see. But the thing of it is, it will make you feel better to believe good. But I want you to understand, some people, and you can hear them on the radio, you can read their books by the hundreds, and they'll see if you just have enough faith. And you just have faith. You just believe you're going to get that promotion. You just believe you're going to get that business. Now, if you just believe enough, you'll be driving a Cadillac. Well, you know, I'd like to do that, but I haven't found anywhere it says, Lendl, believe and you'll get a Cadillac. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? The Bible kind of faith is the kind of faith that trusts God's Word. Back over there in Hebrews chapter 6, when we were talking about it, it says, Noah moved with fear because he had been warned. He had a warning. He believed the warning. He moved because of the warning. What did he do? He acted by faith. By faith, Noah moved with fear. Why? He had been warned of God of what was going to happen. Abraham, when he was called, went out to a place he didn't know. How did he go? Why did he go? He went by faith. And what was his faith in? The call that he got. You see, my friend, it's not just you believing strong enough. You don't even have to have a great deal of faith. You just have to have a little bit of faith in the great big Word of God. Makes all the difference. You can have great faith in your wishes, and they may come to nothing. But you can have a little bit of faith in the Word of God, make all the difference in the world. I know some of you heard the story, but at any rate, I'm going to tell it because it fits my description of faith at any rate. There was a man up in the northern country, I think it was in Canada, and he was in the wintertime, and he got lost from his hunting party. And he is trying to find his way back to, you know, civilization, you know. And he's out in the snow. He's cold. He's gone as far as he can go. He's just about exhausted. He comes up to a stream that's covered with ice. Well, he doesn't know how thick the ice is. He doesn't know if the ice will hold him. He knows if he gets dropped into that ice, he's going to die because he's going to freeze to death. And he's sitting there thinking, do I step out on the ice? I've got to go. And he hears a rumbling. You know, what is that? And he looks up, and here is a great big wagon with two of those great big old draft horses pulling a loaded wagon, and it just doesn't even slow down. Comes on down, runs right down over there a few hundred feet from him, and just runs right on across that ice and goes up the other side. But you know what he did? He just got up and walked across. Now, what was the difference in the ice? None. The difference is what his faith was. You know what? If I'd seen those big old draft horses pull that wagon down there, just not even slow down, just right on up the other side, I'd walk across there too, wouldn't you? You see, he had a picture of what that ice could do now. He didn't know what the ice could do before, but now he had a picture of what it could do. He had faith that the ice would hold him, and he walked right on in, found the civilization, and his life was saved. That's a true story. You know, sometimes in life, we come up on things and think, I don't know where the ice is going to hold me. I don't know what's going to happen. Man, what's going to happen if I make this new decision? What's going to happen as I go down the road? How am I going to work out things in life? Well, you know, the wife and I got married. We didn't worry about a whole lot of those things. I don't guess we had enough sense to think about them. And we went through some good times and some bad times. We went through some real lean times. We went through a lot of difficult decisions. And you know, we made it. We made it. One of the ways we made it, and one of the things that made me very old-fashioned as a young man was I believed God's Word was right. I believed I had God's Word. That makes all the difference in the world. Now look at Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. You shall find rest for your souls. You know, that's advice. That's good advice. That's not only biblical advice, it's advising you to go to the Bible, because the Bible gives you the old ways. The old ways are not necessarily the ways of your ancestors. Your ancestors might not have been Bible people. But I'll tell you, the old ways he's talking about here, he's talking about go God's way. You know, I look at families today. I want to ask you, what do you think? Do you think that families are better off today than they were 100 years ago? You know, I personally don't think so. Do you think there's more divorce today than there was 100 years ago? Oh yeah, I believe there's a whole lot. Do you believe a lot of people that are divorced and now free to do what they want to do, do you think they're happier than they were 100 years ago? Somebody in the same situation. Let me ask you this. Think it's better for the kids today? Why, they got television. Why, they got bicycles. They got videos. They got computers. Do you believe the kids are happier today than they were 100 years ago? I don't think so. I don't believe we've improved by some of the changes that have been made in the last 100 years. I believe we've gone down. I believe we've been hurt by putting faith in some people writing books or some New Age kind of people or some professors of one thing or another that deny the Word of God. I came to a conviction as a very young man as I began to read this Bible. I got saved. I just started reading the Bible. I traded my camels for a New Testament. And every time I wanted to smoke, I pulled out the New Testament and I read and prayed and said, Lord, help me get through this, because I wanted to quit smoking. And I did quit. I quit cold turkey. But boy, for 3 days I thought I was going to die. For 3 months I thought I was going to go crazy. And then finally I made it. But you know what? I learned a lot of Bible. I smoked about 2 packs a day when I got saved. And I didn't figure smoking was sinful. I just figured I'd need to, if I went up to a dope addict and told him Jesus Christ could save you and deliver you from your dope or your alcohol, he'd say, why can't he deliver you from cigarettes? So I figured for testimony's sake, I had to quit. And by the way, I'd smoked from the time I was 5 till I was 21. Smoking wasn't looked down on them. We hadn't thought about, you know, guys' lungs rotting away or their jaws rotting away or anything else like that. Just a part of it. But I smoked an awful lot, and I had a hard time quitting. And as I read that New Testament, you know what? That first year I read it 20 times, completely through. The New Testament 20 times, first year I got saved. Woo! Didn't take long. You know, the first time I read it, I said, ooh, that's wild stuff. Second time I read it, it makes more sense. Third or fourth time I read it, I said, ooh, that's good. And by the time I got down to the end of that thing and reading it by that first year, in 1 year's time, man, I said, I found a great truth. I found something wonderful. I found something to bless my life. I found something to bless my children. I found something to bless my marriage. I found something to bless me. I've got a wisdom beyond my 21 years. I got something smarter than me. I don't know how to raise kids, but God does. I don't know how to build a strong family, but God does. I don't know how to act in certain situations, but God does. And that's what he's saying. Ask for the old path. Ask for the old path. Too many people decide they want to do it the new way. You know, I don't know how many kids, and kids have to do this, by the way, teenagers. Teenagers have to rebel, or they never get to be grown. If they just continually, you know, I can see a teenager, not even a teenager, I see a guy 30 years old still saying, yes, mom, no, mom, living in the house, huh? Come on, give me a break. You got to rebel sometime. You never get on your own. So parents, that's a tough time. That's a real tough time. I've been through being a teenager and rebelling and finally coming around to thinking my dad's gotten smarter. I remember when I was 17, I was so mad at my father, I couldn't think how he could think the way he thought. I remember doubling up my fist at my dad. My dad was a good man. And I was just so angry, and I was a fighter. And I doubled up my fist, and he didn't get mad. He was sort of surprised, and he just stuck that big hand. His hand was bigger than mine. In fact, my ring finger wouldn't fit on his little finger. And he stuck it in my face and said, son, could you hit me? Not if I've got any brains at all. You know, you probably weighed about 218, and I probably weighed 150. No, not if you got a brain in your head, you're not going to hit him. But I wouldn't want to hit him anyway. But, you know, by the time I got about 22 or 23, my daddy had a PhD. He was the smartest guy around. What happened? I had to rebel, and you as teenagers, you have to start thinking for yourself, and you will, and it's a very difficult time because parents have to know how much to squash and how much to back off and how much to let them. But you want them to get grown. You want them to learn how to pay their own way. Don't you want them to learn how to pay their own way? I did. I want them to learn how to work, pay their own way. In fact, I'd wish they'd learn how to pay daddy's way. Hadn't worked yet, but you know what I mean. Ask for the old past. Hey, there's some good old things that we don't need to change. Raising your kids. God will tell you how to do it better than Dr. Spock. I'll guarantee you. And I want you to understand, it's simple faith in some of the old things and the old ways that will change your life and change your marriage. One thing that has not improved, oh, we've got airplanes that'll fly, we've got rockets, we've got cellular phones, we've got TVs and computers and email, and we've got some very wonderful things. And I cannot complain about the new cars. I drove the old cars. If you got 100,000 miles on a flathead V8, you did good. You overhauled it. If you got another 70 out of it after overhauling it, you did very well. I got two Oldsmobiles that got, one of them's got a 92, has 142 or 3,000, and the 89 has 157,000. Same engine. They don't even use oil. I think they're doing some things better. What hasn't improved? Morals, standards, honesty, character. I don't believe we've had an improvement. I believe we've had a deterioration. Things that are done on television now for home viewers would not even been thought of 20 years ago. Maybe you need to ask for some old ways. Maybe you need to build your marriage, your home, your children on some old ways. Maybe you need to find some direction that would say, where's the old path? How is the old path to morality? How is the old path to salvation? How is the old path to a good home? God help us by faith, and you have to do it by faith. Although I think there's plenty of proof around. I don't think you have to look very far to find the proof. By faith, you take the old ways. He said, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Look at Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our problem, not just as teenagers, our problem as human beings is we do the same thing to God. Instead of wanting the old way and the old path, we want our way. I found out by experience, my way is not always the best way. Oh, sometimes I just had to have my way. Sometimes in the marriage, in the family, I just had to have my way. And sometimes a week or a month or a year later, I said, boy, I sure went the wrong way. Made the wrong move. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've done that way to God. We take a look at what God wants. We take a look at morality. We take a look at cleanliness. We take a look at faith. We take a look at righteousness. We take a look at Jesus. We say, oh, I don't want that. No, I don't want that way. Man, I want my own way. I want my freedom. I want my way. Well, that's your biggest problem. And you know, one of the things I had to repent of when I got saved was my way. In the front bedroom of a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico, while I was an Air Force soldier there, airman, I had to get out on my knees and say, Lord, my way's been wrong. I repent of my way. My way in the marriage, my way raising kids, my way of living, my idea of what's right and wrong is wrong. I need your way. God brought some changes. He changed my life. He changed my family's life. But sometimes you have to come to the place to recognize my way is going to lead me the wrong way. My way is going to cost me a great deal. I want God's way. You know, you would bless your life and you would bless your family and you would bless your children. And you children would bless your own lives if you just turn around and say, oh God, what is your way? You know, whichever way God says to do it is the better way than you got. He's got a better way than Dr. Spock. He's got a better way than President Clinton. He's got a better way than Governor Bush. He's got a better way than all the churches and all the religions in the world. You need God's way. And you know, God's got an answer. He can tell you how you ought to build a marriage. He can tell you how you ought to build a business. He can tell you how you ought to build a character. And he can tell you how you ought to raise your children. And by the way, he can tell you how to get saved. Religion's got all sorts of rules and regulations, and they've got all sorts of things you can do. But all religion basically divides into two categories. Salvation by faith or salvation by works. And if you're adding any type of works to whatever you're thinking about salvation, then you're on the works side. Look at John 3:16, a verse I think most of you probably know. There are many other verses just like this or similar to it, tell you the same thing. For God so loved the world. Do you believe that? takes faith to believe that. You don't have any proof of it. You don't have any proof of it. There's plenty of people out there that could tell you, you can't prove that. For God so loved the world. But by faith I believe it. And by faith it's true. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How do you get saved? By going to church quite often, by attending Sunday school regularly, by memorizing verses of Scripture, by quitting smoking, drinking, cussing, dancing, and whatever? No, my friend. You can do all those things and split hell wide open. But I tell you what you can't do and split hell wide open. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your sacrifice, as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the one that died in your place. Take Him as your Savior. Take Him as your sacrifice. Take Him as the one. Make Jesus Lord of your life. The gospel is simply Christ died for your sins. According to the Scriptures, He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the righteousness of God. He fulfilled the mercy of God so that God could offer you a gift, the gift of God, which is eternal life. And He offers it to you by believing in Jesus Christ. You know why that's so important? Well, we're not all alike. I talked about how God loves variety. Well, He certainly loves variety in human beings. Can you imagine there's 6 billion people on the face of the earth and nobody looks like you? I know we're all thankful, but 6 billion people and nobody looks like you? 6 billion people, nobody has a fingerprint like you? 6 billion people and nobody has a voice print like you? 6 billion people, nobody has a footprint like you? They say that's the same thing, the true as snowflakes. God loves a tremendous variety. Do you know what? He didn't say, I'll save all of them that have bald heads, which He probably would have, but He didn't say that. I'll just save those bald heads because they're the beautiful heads. All the rest He covered with hair, you understand? No, He didn't say, I'm going to save the white race or the black race or the red race. No, He said, I'll save anybody to believe. Amen. It doesn't take a great deal of faith to believe. It might take a great deal of faith to get that Cadillac you were thinking about. It might take a great deal of faith to believe a lot of things that are out in the world. But my friend, when that fellow walked across that ice stream, he didn't need great faith. Just a little bit of faith, all he needed. He didn't need much faith. Hey man, he could just trip across that thing. If that'll hold horses and a wagon, it'll hold me. I don't have a sweat. Let me tell you something. Just a little bit of faith in the strength of God will give you what you need. Just a little bit of faith in the power of God will get you what you need. Just a little bit of faith in the righteousness of God and the salvation of God. You know what it all boils down to? Just a little bit of faith in the Word of God. He said, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you believed that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that He died for you, that He saved your soul if you call upon Him? Have you called upon Him? Have you believed upon Him? He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to Him. Take Him as your Lord and Savior today. I'm not inviting you to join a church. I'm not inviting you to be baptized. Those are all good things to do. I'm not inviting you to do a lot of things. I'm inviting you to accept Jesus Christ at His Word. He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus is the answer. Church isn't the answer. Religion's not the answer. Good works is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. No other mediator. Mary is not a mediator, my friend. You can pray to Mary all you want to. You can pray to Peter all you want to. You can pray to Buddha all you want to. But there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If you go to Christ, you'll get saved by simple faith. Why don't you take that little bit of faith you got and place it in what God said. Make a blessing for it. This invitation is open. If you're a Christian and God's spoken to your heart in some way, why, you just come and do whatever God wants you to do. If you're here and you're lost and you'd like to accept Christ as your Savior today, you believed upon the Lord or you want some help, come down and grab me by the hand. I'll get somebody to help you. Let's stand and sing number 249. 249. If you'll come to Christ by simple faith just as you are, trusting Christ to be your sacrifice, your substitute, your Savior, He'll save your soul and change your life. Simple faith. Simple faith. Do you believe it? Will you act upon it? Will you trust Him today? Let God have His way in your life today. Sing it out. Father, we pray that You'll hear the prayers that are being prayed in this place. We ask You to have mercy. And Lord, I pray that You would just grant the request of each heart. I pray if there's anyone here without You as their Lord and Savior. That, Lord, you'd give them no rest, that you would deal with their spirit, their heart, till they would come to repent of their sins or their ways and ask you to forgive them and save them. May they trust you. Lord, we commit them into your hand. We thank you for everything you've done for us. We just praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good day. Lord bless you.